Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 9, starting with verse 32. Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 32. This morning we're going to be talking about the works of Jesus, and as we come and seek to follow Jesus, we need to constantly be evaluating ourselves and asking, like, what does it mean to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus? And at its core, it just simply means that we are following him and living life the way that he lived and doing the things that he did. And I'm constantly trying to think, like, how is my life conforming to the image of the Son of God? Because that's what God's purpose is for us, that we would live in fellowship with him and that we would live out his goodness in our lives, that we would be doing the works that Jesus did. So let's read here this morning and consider the works that Jesus is doing. So Acts 9, verse 32. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." Immediately, Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. And turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. All right, so here we are. We've been working our way through the book of Acts. And last week we talked about how Saul was confronted on the road to Damascus and gave his life to the Lord, right? And as we are working through the book of Acts, we're, again, watching the expansion of the kingdom of God. All of this is moving towards this idea that the kingdom of God is spreading to the ends of the earth. And we have the introduction of Saul, who is also called Paul. And we're going to see how, in a few chapters, he takes the gospel to the Gentiles. But right now, we're kind of jumping back and forth between some main characters, Peter and the church in Jerusalem. And then eventually we'll get to Paul as he goes out to the Gentiles. And we're tracing this expansion of the gospel from the Jews to the Gentiles, all right? And here, after this story about Saul, we have these two stories about healings that Peter works, all right? Now, at first glance, as I read through this, it kind of feels a little like they're just two random stories. We're told earlier that Peter's been healing people all over the place. Like, people are going out to the streets, hope maybe, like, his shadow would fall on them so that they would be healed. Peter's been healing a lot of people. These are the first two that we get names of, all right? These are the first two people that are named. And it feels like, okay, yes, we know that Peter heals people. what's the deal with these two stories? What is their purpose? Well, the purpose is to set us up for what's coming, to remind us of what Jesus is doing and wants to do in the world, and to set us up for what he's about to do with the Gentiles. And one of the things that we see in this passage is Peter is portrayed as a representative of Jesus. And he has the authority of Jesus to spread the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. And then when we get into something in chapter 10 that's a little bit controversial, the gospel going to the Gentiles, it's Peter in the authority of Jesus sharing the gospel with this new group of people. And so these two stories may seem a little weird and like, how do they fit here? But they are picturing Peter doing the works of Jesus. And we want to remember the promise that Jesus gave his followers. Because I said, like, we want to like ask, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? I want to be a follower of Jesus. You want to be a follower of Jesus. What exactly does that mean? Well, back in the first part of Acts, he begins the book with this statement. In my former book, talking about the Gospel of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And we said all the way back then that Jesus' works on the earth are not finished. He may have ascended to the Father, but through his Spirit, he plans on saving the world, evangelizing the world, taking his message, the good news of salvation, to the ends of the earth. And so we can look back at the Gospels, and Luke is telling us that's just the beginning. That's just the things that Jesus started to do, but he is continuing to work. And so he had promised his disciples in the Gospel of John that they were going to continue that work. It says in John 14:12, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Now just think about it. Jesus has been going around healing people, casting out demons, raising the dead, these kinds of things. And he's looking at his followers. What does it mean to be a disciple, to do what Jesus did? He's going, you're going to do these things. These are the types of things that are going to be happening. He says that, "I will do whatever you ask in my name." This is as his representative, right? Doing the things that he has sent us to do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for me, or you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So Jesus is glorifying the Father is glorifying the Son, and Jesus is saying, I'm going to work. I'm going to work through you. I'm going to work in you. And when you go out as my representative, you are going to do things in my name, and I will work on your behalf, right? So we're leaning not on just some hope that God will do something, but on the reality that Jesus says that he will be active in the ministry, in the service of his followers, all right? So then we have Peter doing the works of Jesus. We have two healings. The first is the healing of Aeneas. Now, Peter, he's going about encouraging the saints. It says, as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. So we had just finished up. Saul became saved. There was peace among the Lord's people, because remember, there was a great persecution, but once Saul gets saved, there's some peace, and the people are walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and the church is growing. So now Peter is going to all these churches that are popping up and growing, and he's encouraging the Lord's people. And once again, I don't know why the NIV makes this choice, but the word here in the original language is saints, all right? And I just want to just hammer this home, and I know that I say this often because for some reason the NIV just doesn't translate this word saints, but it means saints. Like, we have this very specific idea of sainthood in the Catholic Church. It means someone like super special, super spiritual, or whatever, but that's not God's view of you, okay? Like, God looks at you, and you are a saint. And it just simply means a holy one, someone who's been set apart. You belong to him. You are dedicated to him. And we want to make sure that we just have this grasp that that's how God sees me. Because very often I see my sin and I need to acknowledge my sin. I need to confess my sin, but I can be awfully down on myself at times when God's looking at me going, you're my holy one. And we need to just embrace that vision that God has for us, that we are his holy ones. And so Peter, he's representing Jesus, doing the works of Jesus, and he's going around encouraging the churches, right? This is the ministry that Jesus has given him to feed his sheep. And so when he's in this place called Lydda, it says he finds a man who his name is Aeneas, and he's paralyzed, and he's been bedridden for 8 years. So things are not going well for Aeneas, right? Like, we all have certain injuries and problems and things like that, and I've got a list, and you've got a list, and, you know, that would fall into this category, and we could go like, man, there's just problem after problem after problem, and I don't know what, it doesn't tell us what Aeneas' state of mind is, but just put yourself in his position for a minute. You've been paralyzed, you're bedridden, you have to have people do things for you. Just imagine what that life would be like, right? So he's not in good shape. The circumstances are not good. And Peter, like, there's not a lot of fanfare here. We're not told, like, any other details. Peter just looks over and is like, Christ heals you. Jesus Christ heals you. And this is great because it's not like, hey, I'm going to heal you. It's the power of Jesus bringing healing and restoration to Aeneas. It's Jesus' power and not ours. And so Peter looks at him, says, Jesus Christ heals you. And then he gives him a command, get up and roll up your mat. Get up and make your bed, basically, is the idea here. All right, so very specific things that are included in the story, and I believe that they're included for a reason, because Peter is following in the footsteps of Jesus in this story. And so this story is meant to remind us of something that happens in the ministry of Jesus all the way back in Luke chapter 5. I'm going to turn back there. Turn with me, Luke chapter 5. We'll start reading at 17, but I'll give you some background. This is the story of the paralyzed man whose friends are like, we care about him enough that we have to get him to Jesus. Do you remember this story? And Jesus is in a house, and the crowd is just surrounding him. The crowd is outside the house. There's just way too many people. And these four friends look at their paralyzed buddy, and they're like, well, Jesus is healing people. Let's go. And so they go, and they can't get into the house. They can't get him to Jesus. So what do? They do what any normal person would do, and they climb on the roof, and they dig through it, right? Like, is that what you would do? Fortunately, you know, like, you'd have to, like, have some chainsaws and things like that today. Roofs are constructed differently. But they dig through the roof where Jesus is, and they lower this guy down, and Jesus looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven. He doesn't heal him immediately. He says, your sins are forgiven. Jesus is pointing out, like, the spiritual problem, not only the physical problem. And all the Pharisees and religious leaders and everybody, they're upset because, like, who is this guy that thinks he can forgive sins? Like, you can't do that, Jesus. And so let's start reading in 5:17. It says this. Am I in the right place? Yeah. Verse 18. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered the mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Verse 22, Jesus knew what they were thinking. Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? He said, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God, and they were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Now, the language here is not exactly the same that we read in the book of Acts, but it's very similar, right? This story that we read about this paralyzed man, right? He's lying on a mat. There's a command to him, get up and pick up your mat. And Peter looks at Aeneas and says, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll up your mat, pick up your mat." And immediately he stands up. And that's exactly what happens in the book of Acts. All the way back in chapter 9, it says here, immediately Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. All right, so we're all tracking. Do we see these parallels? Like, it's not the exact same story, but there are so many similarities that this is a callback to what Jesus did, right? And so what we're supposed to get from this is Jesus is still at work through his disciples, through Peter. And so, as with many of these miracles, it gets everybody's attention, and it says they turned to the Lord. And this is just a beautiful picture of people coming to Jesus because they're going one direction, and then there's something that happens that gets their attention, and they turn to the Lord, and their lives are changed. There's a new direction for them because God is at work in their midst, all right? So many people then turn to the Lord. Similar thing happens with the raising of this woman named Dorcas. It's an unfortunate name for our time because, like, it's just a weird name. But it would not have been a weird name back then, all right? So let's look here. It says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated means Dorcas, right? If we're going from Aramaic is the language, Tabitha, to Greek, Dorcas. And if you're wondering what it means gazelle, all right? So this lady is named after a gazelle, a beautiful animal, right? All right, so now look at her life. It says she was always doing good and helping the poor. So she lived a life full of good works. Helping the poor, the word is almsgiving, and it was the word that meant to give money to the poor or sometimes to make some kind of contribution. And this is just what she did and what she was known for, helping people, doing good deeds. And this is a model for us as followers of Jesus. She's called a disciple. Jesus went about doing good things, and as his disciples, we ought to be serving one another and taking care of one another and providing for basic needs. And so, unfortunately, it says, about that time, she became sick and she died. Her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. And so the people are grieving. They're trying to honor their friend, their fellow follower of Jesus. And it says that Lydda was near Joppa. So Peter had been in Lydda, where Aeneas is healed. And Joppa's not too far away. Now, not too far away. I know I've been on this like geography kick, but it's just helpful. Like when we think like Lydda was near Joppa, we've got Jerusalem down here in the corner. Then if we follow this orange line, if you can make it out, that's Lydda. And then the green line goes over to the coast where Joppa is. By the way, Caesarea is up there because a couple of times in our story, we've already been at Caesarea. Something big is going to happen in Caesarea in chapter 10. We're just getting ready to go there. We're getting Peter closer for this big deal that's going to happen. But anyway, Dorcas, she gets sick. She dies in Joppa. Lydda's close by. And by close by, what we mean is like a three-hour walk, all right? So they know that Peter was in Lydda. So they send two guys to go get him. Now that's 3 hours walk in one way. That's 3 hours walk in the other way. And like we don't walk like that. Like, so what's a 3 hour drive from here? Like Williamsburg is like 2.5. Yeah, like Virginia Beach. You guys make like Bristol, it's like roughly three hours. That's a drive, not a walk. That's a drive. But just make that drive in your mind. Drive back. You spend an entire day driving. It's a big deal. Your buddy, your friend is dead. You're going to get the Apostle Peter. You don't know what's going to happen, but you're going to go and try at least to see if he'll come. All right? Now then put in the effort of walking 3 hours. I don't know what a 3 hour walk distance is, but anyway, like, I guess I just keep coming back here because I realize how lazy I am. I don't, this is just not related, but they keep making these really long journeys. And I'm like, I walked across the parking lot this morning. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. All right. Yeah. Okay. So they go get Peter. They're like, hey, please come at once. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. Come as quickly as you can. So Peter, he makes the journey over to Joppa. And when he gets there, he sees the grief that the people have as they're mourning the loss of their friend. And all these widows, remember, widows needed to be taken care of. They were a class who had very little means and very little social status, very little power, those types of things. And so there are people to be taken care of. And these widows are grieving the loss of Tabitha because she had been taking care of them. And they come up to Peter, and they're probably wearing these things. And so they're not like pulling them out of their bags. It's probably stuff like, look, Dorcas made this shirt for me. Dorcas made me this garment, this robe. And they're just grieving because this woman had taken care of them, and now she's gone. And I just think about the kind of practical help. Like, think about how, like, indispensable Dorcas is. Like, am I helping people in that way? Where, like, they're relying on me in a healthy way, not, like, enabling people to do things they, you know, can do for themselves. That's not what I'm describing here. But, like, am I having such an impact that if I were suddenly taken, everybody would be like, oh, man, this person cared for me. This person took, provided for me. This person looked after me. Like, what kind of lives are we living that are full of good works and helping the poor that if something were to happen, man, the church can't do without me, is kind of the picture here. Like, there's a great loss, a great, great loss. And so we read on here where Peter goes in and he raises Dorcas. It says, Peter sent them all out of the room. He got down on his knees and prayed. So then a recognition that this is not his power, this is God's power. He's relying on God. Then he looks over at the dead woman and he says, Tabitha, get up. He uses her Aramaic name, or not her Greek name, her Aramaic name, Tabitha. So she opens her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sits up. Like, there's this woman that's been raised from the dead. That's awesome. All right? And it says he takes her by the hand, and he lifts her up. Now, or helps her up. This is also language that's used in a story of Jesus. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5, verses 35. Mark chapter 5, verse 35. Now, this is the story about a man named Jairus, and he's a synagogue ruler. He's a leader in a Jewish synagogue, and he has a daughter who is sick. And so he sends some people to Jesus to try to get Jesus to come and pray for his daughter. But on the way, Jesus is going, the crowd is pressing in, and there's a woman who had an issue of bleeding for years and years. And so she's like, if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I'll be healed. And she does so, and Jesus is like, who touched me? Because he knows power went out, and this woman was healed. And by the time this ordeal is done, this little girl has died. And so some more messengers come, and they're like, hey, don't bother, she's already dead. And Jesus goes to the house anyway, and we pick up the story. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, Don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the little girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. All right? So here we have Jesus going into this, in this room and raising this girl from the dead. And we notice there are parallels, very similar language to what we read in the story of the healing or raising of Dorcas. First of all, it says he put them all out of the room. Like, he kept a couple people in, but this language is like he put everyone else out, right? There's language of taking her by the hand. It doesn't happen in the same order. It doesn't happen in the exact same way, but this picture of Jesus taking this girl by the hand and Peter takes Dorcas by the hand. And this is the most interesting, all right? Jesus speaks, the native language is Aramaic, all right? So Jesus, speaking to this girl, says, "Little girl, get up." And it would have been in Aramaic, "Talitha kum," okay? Now, Peter most likely spoke Aramaic when he was raising Dorcas. And what he would have said would have been, "Tabitha kum." Only one letter difference between those two statements. Talitha, little girl. Tabitha, Dorcas's Aramaic name. The picture here is that Peter is doing what Jesus did, okay? He is portrayed as doing the works of Jesus. And he grabs Tabitha by the hand, and he lifts her up, and he presents her to the saints. It says he called for the believers, and that word believers is saints again. It's emphasized again that you are the holy ones of God if you're a believer in him. He called for the saints, and especially the widows, those who had benefited from her charity, from her generosity, from her service, and he presented her to them alive. And of course, this becomes known all over the place, and many people believe in the Lord. These miracles lead to people coming to faith. So Jesus isn't just about fixing the physical problems. The physical problems are important. But what's more important is that our hearts are dealt with and we are turning to him and trusting in him. And then we have this just last line that's setting us up for next time, which is Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. I'm going to give you a little homework because it's not really related to the message today, but go look up tanning practices in the first century. It ain't pretty. Like, this is a smelly, smelly business, and they do it by the sea because at least there's a little bit of breeze coming in off the ocean, and they use salt water and all these kinds of things. Just, this guy will show up next week. He's not really that important other than Peter staying with him. We might get into some of it, but tell me what you find out. It's glorious. Go for it. All right. But anyway, so Peter raises Dorcas. And the entire point of these two stories is that the disciples of Jesus are doing what Jesus does. And what is Jesus about? Jesus continues his work through his disciples. He's not done. And he wants to continue to work in your life and in my life and through us in the lives of the people around us. So he moves in power to heal, to restore life, and to bring people to faith in him. And I wish I could say, like, stand before you today and be like, "Hey, you should hear about this one time I prayed and God raised this person from the dead." Hasn't happened for me. but I believe it happens. I believe Jesus heals. Ask Hannah a story today about a girl that she prayed for at camp and how she was healed. It's pretty awesome. The girl had been cutting herself and had marks all over her. And Hannah didn't know anything about these marks. And yeah, I was going to tell you, ask her, but I'm just going to tell you because it's awesome. I can't stop. Hannah, the girl had come at a prayer time that evening and had just asked for prayer, and Hannah was praying. And the next day, hopefully I'm getting this right, she can verify it. The girl came back, she's like, did you feel something when you were praying for me? And like, Hannah was like, no, I was just praying for you. And she's like, well, I had scars all over me and they're gone because I had been cutting. Is that right? Close enough? So, like, God heals, and Jesus works, and he wants to bring people to faith in him. And so I want to be built up in my trust and my faith in him, that he's going to do his work in me and through me, and I want you to be built up so that he's going to do his work in you and through you, because we are his representatives, and he has sent us out so that people could be healed and have life eternal in his name, and that is his mission, and that's what he wants to do in us. So would you pray with me this morning? Father God, you're awesome. And I pray that you would give us a bigger vision for our lives than what we currently have, Lord God. That we would not be tunnel visioned and just focus in on what we see in the natural. But God, we would be open to hearing your voice and following you and being your representatives on the earth to do your works, not by our strength or cleverness, but by your power. God, I pray that you would have your way and that we would take hold of the promise that if we believe in you, that we would do the things you did and even greater things because you went to the Father, and that whatever we ask for as your representatives, whatever we ask for in your name, you will do because you are glorifying the God of heaven. God, I pray that you would work among us. In the name of Jesus, amen.